Big happy new year to all of you today. I am incredibly excited for several different reasons. First of all, it is no longer the year 2020, right? Woo! Yeah, what a terrible year for so many reasons. And I'm just glad to finally leave it behind us. And yeah, as bad as 2020 was for a lot of people, it was still a year that God was with us in many different ways. For one, our church turned 10 years old back in July, which was a huge milestone for us. But more importantly, it was another year where we saw people stepping over that faith line and giving their lives to Christ. We saw people going public with their faith through the step of baptism. And even while our regular attendance was down, this one still blows me away, that we saw so many first-time visitors coming into Cedar Point Church all during a global pandemic. I also love this weekend because it's the first weekend of a new year. So how many of you have New Year's resolutions that you make? Anybody got any goals or things you want to do for this next year? Nobody. What the heck? I hope that you do, but it's kind of interesting to me when you think about it. Most of the time when we make New Year's resolutions, typically they are self-centered in nature, and that's not always a bad thing. In other words, you know, some of you might say, well, I want to lose some weight this year, or I want to eat healthier this year, I want to make sure that my house is cleaner this year, I want to get rid of all my cats this year. You know, I don't know what it might be for you, but a lot of times our goals are more about us than anything else. And the tragedy is, and when it comes to God, it's the same thing. It's more about what we want than it is about Him. For example, so many people today, when it comes to God, they try to get God to do what they want rather than trying to figure out what God wants for them. And following God or going to church becomes a very self-centered thing. You know, God bless me, God give me or make me richer, God help me be happier, God give me what I want. And then when things in life don't go the way that we plan or the way that we want them to go, we end up blaming God or we give up on Him altogether. In other words, they might say, well, you know, I tried the whole church thing. You know, I read my Bible or I did whatever, and I didn't get a better job. You know, I didn't get that parking spot. That girl that I really wanted to date, she ended up dating another guy. And you know, I tried the God thing, and it didn't work because God didn't do what I wanted Him to do. And so many people think that God exists for us when in reality we exist to serve and honor Him. In fact, when Jesus invited people to follow Him, He didn't say, come and follow me and you'll get everything you want and life will always go your way. Right? No, not at all. Instead, this is what Jesus said. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must do what? Must deny themselves. Well, what are those two words? Deny themselves. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In other words, if we want to be disciples of Jesus, it's less about us and it's more about Him. It's not about you. It's about the you beside you. And that's why as we move into a new year, right, in our culture, which is a very, very self-centered culture, I want to teach four messages that will help us become selfless and instead more obedient to following Jesus. Because if we want to follow Him, it's got to be less about us and more about Him. So let me give you kind of the four big themes so you'll know where we're going in the coming weeks. Today I want to talk about sharing boldly, right? Being bold in sharing our faith with other people. Next week we'll talk about serving faithfully, right? Using our gifts to serve other people around us. We'll also talk about giving generously. And then the last week we'll talk about being dedicated consistently. Okay, in other words, instead of God just do what I want, you know, do what I want, God bless me, make my life better. Instead of this selfish approach to life, what if instead we said, God, use me to reach more people, right? Even if I'm laughed at or ridiculed, right? I want to share my faith boldly. God, use the gifts I have to be a blessing to others, to serve others, to show the love, you know, your love to people around me, even if it makes me feel uncomfortable, right? Serving faithfully. And God, help me to use what I have to be a blessing to others, even if I have to change the way I live, right? I want to give generously. And help me, God, every single day to wake up and do what may even seem mundane, but to do it all for your glory, right? Dedicated consistently. Instead of being self-centered and selfish, what if we as followers of Jesus would strive to live a selfless life, right? Starting off by denying ourselves and saying, Jesus, I want what you want. I want to follow your will for my life. So today we're going to start with one big idea, one that I hope will spur you on to sharing your faith in Jesus. We're going to talk about sharing boldly. So let me tell you why, as followers of Christ, we should be excited about sharing our faith with others. If you can imagine, there were some disciples, all right, some men that Jesus had been training and investing in for about 3 years. He's teaching them what it means to know and to follow God. He's investing in them. And every once in a while, he would kind of pause and he would try to explain to them that one day I'm going to have to give my life. Right? I'm going to die. And then in the third day, God is going to raise me from the dead. And the disciples had a very, very difficult time understanding this because they didn't really understand the whole context like we do today. All right? They were like, no, Jesus, right? No, you can't do that. You can't die. And Jesus said, no, I have to die for the sins of the world. Right? You're going to want me to die. It's why I came. I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I didn't come for the righteous, but I came for sinners. I'm going to have to die, but God is going to raise me on the third day from the dead. Right? 3 days later, I'll be back. And so Jesus went to the cross. He suffered brutally, and he dies. And 3 days later, right, it's Sunday evening, and what do you think the disciples are doing? Do you think they're out preaching boldly, hey, he's coming back? You know, he told us about this. We've been waiting for it. You know, we'll wait any minute. Here he comes, right? He's coming back. No, not at all. Right? As I've said before, nobody was standing outside that tomb Sunday morning counting down backwards from 10, 9, 8, you know, cue the sun, 7, 6, right? Nobody expected nobody. Instead, the Apostle John, and he tells us what they were doing. In John 20:19. He says, on the evening of that first day of the week, right, Sunday night, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Okay, Jesus told them that he's coming back, but what are they doing? They are cowering in fear behind locked doors. Why is it that so many Christians are not bolder in sharing their faith? Well, there's a lot of reasons, right? One of them is that we are often afraid that we don't know enough. Right, we start sharing our faith with somebody, and they start asking a question, and we're like, I don't know, right? I think I got to go. Now, another reason is we don't want to offend people. Right? We don't want to appear to be pushy. We don't want to be that type of Christian. In my opinion, I think if you dig down to the root of the matter, every single excuse we give, it's because we're afraid. Right? We're afraid. Even though the Bible tells us 365 times, do not be afraid, we're afraid. Right, we're afraid we won't know enough. But we're afraid that we'll look silly. Or we're afraid that we won't get it right. We're afraid. Right? We're hiding behind locked doors, afraid of the Jewish leaders. And let me just clarify, right? I get this. Right? Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I wake up every single day fearless and my Bible hovers over my desk and, you know, I always do what God tells me to do. In fact, there have been plenty of times, especially early on in my faith, where I felt God was telling me to share my faith with somebody or at least say something, and I chicken out. Right? Let's absolutely no. All right, no way, God. Forget it. I'm not doing it. And I turned and ran another way. I remember a time when I had a church planner's assessment I had to go to, and one of the things I had to do was this mock scenario of sharing my faith cold turkey with somebody I didn't know. And so I didn't know what to do. So I went online. I'm trying to find something to use. And the most popular witnessing thing I found, I'll never forget it, the opening line was, hey, how you doing? Hey, have you ever come to a place where you know, whether or not if you died tonight, you would go to heaven or hell? And that was the opening line. I'm thinking, no way, I'm not going to be that guy. Right? Mostly because I was so afraid I'd probably get it wrong. But why is it that so many of us are not bold in sharing our faith? For most of us, it's because we're often afraid. But I want to show you in one additional verse of Scripture, right? One event. Right, one moment that transformed these disciples from being timid and afraid to being bold and courageous. And it's simply the next half of the verse of verse 19. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, and then suddenly Jesus, right, the man who died 3 days earlier, the man who was put into a tomb, suddenly Jesus came and stood among them. And I love what Jesus says to them. He says, peace be with you. It's like, hey, bro, dude, did you not remember I'm coming back? It's like, here I am, guys, I'm back. And all of a sudden, these guys went from being selfish, timid, from being afraid and being self-centered, to bold and courageous and evangelistic in everything that they did. I mean, these guys who were at one moment hiding behind locked doors, the next moment they were out preaching boldly. Peter, the biggest coward of them all, who caved into a little girl's question and said, "I don't know who Jesus is," is now, a few days later, out preaching to all these people, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." I mean, you couldn't stop this guy. And the religious leaders arrested them. They put them in jail. And they're still even witnessing and preaching behind the bars. And then the high priest, the guy named Annas, and there's so many jokes I'd love to give about this guy's name, but Annas, anyway, right, the high priest, he says to them, "Hey, you healed this guy. By what name and by what power did you do this?" And here in Acts chapter 4, we see Peter, right, the guy who was hiding, the guy who was had earlier denied Christ, says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, and watch his boldness. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you today healed.'" I mean, these religious leaders had just thrown Peter and John into jail, and what are these guys doing? Because the tomb was empty, right? Because Christ was risen, because Jesus had defeated death, hell, and the grave, Peter had watched a man crucified and tortured and die on a cross, and then he stood before his very eyes, God in the flesh. I mean, this same man who was timid in spirit, hiding behind locked doors, was now bold and courageous because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what do we learn from Peter? Right, we need to embrace this principle if you're taking notes, right? And that is, when we believe deeply, we speak boldly, don't we? I mean, we all do this. When we believe deeply, we speak boldly. Because Peter experienced the resurrection of Christ, it consumed him. I mean, later on, he says, we can't stop talking about this. When you witness a guy who predicts his death and resurrection and then pulls it off, I mean, it changes everything. It was everything to Peter. When we believe deeply, we speak boldly, don't we? I mean, if you go to a restaurant and it's amazing, I mean, what do? You're like up in everybody's business. Man, you got to go check this place out. The enchiladas are just amazing, right? They're out of this world. If there's a new Netflix series, it's like, man, you got to watch this. I took 3 days off of work. I watched all the series, right? You know, it's like, this is amazing. Because what do? When we believe deeply, we speak boldly. If we're not speaking boldly about our faith in Christ, do we really believe it deeply? Has God really changed our hearts and our lives? Peter says, let me tell you about the powerful name of Jesus. Acts 4:12. He says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Verse 13, says the members of the council were amazed. Right, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So here's a question for you. Those of you who consider yourselves Jesus followers, how amazed are other people by your boldness for Christ? Right, think about it. How amazed are they? And let's go ahead and just put a number on it, right? Best we can. On a scale of 1 to 10, right? 1 is unmoved. 10 is just massively amazed, right? 10, don't put 10. 10 is Jesus, right? You're not Jesus. All right? But 1 is like a slug. You never leave the sofa, right? 1 is nothing. And if you're not sure where you are, let me help you out a little bit. If you're a 7 or 8, you're probably not at church right now alone. Right, you probably got 1 or 2 or 3 people that you brought with you from work or school because you were just constantly inviting people. Perhaps this week, you know, you talked to 3 or 4 different people about your faith in Christ and God was using you. Or maybe you've got a list of people that you're constantly praying for every day. I mean, you're praying for your mom, you're praying for your brother-in-law, you're praying for coworkers at work, you're praying for your classmates, right? You've got names that you're praying for every single day. The thought of people dying and going to hell, it just eats at you. You can't help but talk about Jesus. If that's you, you're a 7 or 8, maybe even a 9. And then there's the lower end of the scale. Now, how do you know if you're on the lower end? Well, it's probably pretty obvious. I mean, you've never invited anybody, never brought anybody to church. You're probably not really involved in the life of the church. You've never been to a ladies' night or a wingman night to even know what it's like to invite somebody to come with you. Are you praying? I don't know. The people you work with or go to school with, maybe they don't even know that you're a Christian. Don't know if you go to church. If they looked at your social media account, it's like they probably wonder if you're a sailor. If that's you, you're probably on the lower end of the scale. Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle. I don't know. Where are you? Right? Where would you rank yourself? How amazed are other people by your boldness for Christ? So that raises what I would consider to be a very important question. Right, if you're a Jesus follower, every single one of us, we are all called to go into all the world, right, as witnesses for Christ. We are all called to be salt and light. It's a command, not a suggestion. It's what we're supposed to do. So how do we grow in our boldness? Right, how do we become more bold in sharing our faith? Well, I'm going to give you two real simple thoughts from Acts chapter 4, all right? Incredibly simple, but they could have a profound impact in your life. The first way we become bold is this, right? Number one is we very simply spend more time with Jesus. Right? Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? So what does that mean? Well, that means we're praying, right? We're listening, we're in communication, we're reading his word, we're spending time with Jesus and other followers of Jesus. For example, look again at verse 13 of Acts 4. It says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had what? Had been with Jesus. The Greek word that's translated as unschooled is the word idiotes. Right, can you guess what our English word is that we get from the Greek word idiotes? Idiot, right? Yeah. So if you've ever felt like an idiot, you are a perfect candidate to be used by God. Right? God specializes in using idiots who have been with Jesus. These were ordinary people. Hey, just like you, just like me. Unschooled, ordinary men, but they also recognized them as men who had spent time with Jesus. So what happens if we're a follower of Christ and we don't spend any time with Jesus? Well, let me tell you what happens to me. If I don't spend time with him in the morning, right, no time with him during the day, instead of thinking about, you know, God and listening for his voice, I get consumed with everything that's going on in this world. I mean, somebody cuts me off in the road, I want to rear-end them. I get angry. I just get consumed with all the things going on in this world just like everybody else. I get too into whatever it is, too into money, too into social media, too much into, you know, what people think about me. I become short with my wife, short with my kids. And then the next day, because I'd never spent time with God the day before, I don't spend time with him again. And all of these negative spiritual consequences just flow out of not spending time with Jesus. On the other hand, if, like I try to do almost every day, I wake up and I spend the first 30, 45 minutes with God, reading his word, journaling, maybe reading a YouVersion reading plan, letting God's word adjust my attitudes away from my selfishness to a selfless attitude, you know, where I pray and I bring people before God and situations before God and I listen to God, what do I end up with then? Now, I get this divine confidence, right? God is with me, right? God's spirit is going to guide me. I ask God to use me, and suddenly I feel bolder because I've been with him during the day. And so when I see an opportunity, I see it as someone who God has brought into my life to reveal his goodness to them and to make a difference in their life. And so I might say something to them. I might do something for them. I might serve them in some way, and then I get to step back and I watch God use it. And it increases my faith and I become even more bold. And so I do it again and again and again. And then the next day I wake up and I can't wait to spend more time with Jesus because I did it the day before. If you want to grow in boldness, it's very, very simple. You spend time with Jesus. Right, they were amazed at their boldness and they took note. Right, they were ordinary, unschooled people who had done what? They spent time with Jesus. The second thing that we can do, again, is very simple as well. But I'm telling you, God will hear and answer this prayer. Simply ask God to make you bold. Right? Just pray. Right? God, give me boldness today. Right? Use me, God. God, give me opportunities to speak into other people's lives. And when was the last time you ever asked God to make you bold? Right? You ask him and watch. He will answer this prayer. And this is what happened. the religious leaders continued to threaten the disciples. And they said, we're going to throw you into jail. Imagine if not only you could be thrown into jail, but imagine if you could actually lose your life. Because there, right now, all around the world, there are hundreds of thousands of people in other countries where that is their reality in life. That when you go bold with your faith in Christ, right, your family may turn against you, or you could very possibly lose your life because of your faith in Christ. About 12 years ago, I went on two trips to the country of Bangladesh, which is a 99% Muslim country. And the local Bangla Christian there that our missionary was working with was a young guy by the name of Mamoon. Mamoon was a college student studying to become a doctor. I mean, he's a doctor today. But word got out in his dormitory that he was a Christian. He was a follower of Christ. And he was also leading a house church. And so some other guys on his floor went into his room one night, beat him with cricket bats, drug him out into the street, and left him for dead. My second trip I went on, we got to sit down and share Christ with a business owner that we got to know. He accepts Christ. He steps over the faith line, gives his life to Christ. Word gets out in his building that he lives in. And he and his family get kicked out of their house. They have to find somewhere else to live. What if that was happening to us? What would we do? Right? How would we pray? Would we be scared to death, you know, hiding behind locked doors? What would we pray for? Would we pray, God, keep us safe? You know, protect us as we go to grandma's house. You know, don't let us get in a car wreck as we travel to grandma's house today. Please keep us safe. You know, we tend to pray, me. But watch these disciples under the potential threat of death. Watch what they prayed for. I love this. Verse 29 of Acts 4. They pray, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Not keep us safe, right? Not protect us today, but give us boldness. And even though that they're already threatening us, God, make us even bolder than we are in what we do. When you spend time with Jesus, you grow in boldness. When we ask God for boldness, he helps strengthen our faith. And then we start to realign and realize and remember, and it gets to the front of our mind. When this life is over, every single person we know will spend eternity somewhere. They will. They will either live in the presence of God in heaven, or they will live in the horror of eternal damnation in hell. Now, I am not a huge fan of what they call fire and brimstone preaching, where they try to scare you to death, you know, where you're going to hell where the worm never dies and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? I'm not a huge fan of that style. And in fact, when we lived in Georgia, we went to this good old Southern Baptist church that in the summertime, they would have this huge, big VBS-type event called Bible Time. And so one year, I took Kaylee and Luke to Bible Time and actually went with them around every afternoon there to the different stations. And every single week, one night of the week, they had where they presented the gospel to all these kids. And they would use fire and brimstone to present it to the kids. And so I sat there watching all of these kids raising their hands because this guy just literally scared the hell out of them. I mean, I wanted to raise my hand. He scared me to death. So I'm not a huge fan of fire and brimstone because it produces unauthentic results. But I cannot be true to my calling and sharing the gospel without telling you that there is a very real place that the Bible calls hell. It's called eternal damnation. It's called a place of torment. It's called the outer darkness. It's called a place of sorrow. There is indescribable suffering that happens day and night eternally in a place called hell. And the words cannot convey the horror, right, the pain and the anguish of hell. In the same way, there is another place. And words cannot adequately convey the glory, the beauty, the splendor, the majesty of the dwelling place of God and his people in what the Bible calls heaven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even dream it up or explain it. It is so out of this world. John, one of the guys who was with Peter preaching in Acts, God gave him a vision that he records in Revelation 21 of heaven. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. That is the heaven described for us that God has prepared for those who love him. When we believe deeply, we speak boldly. A timid, fearful faith doesn't reach a lost, hurting, and broken world. In 2005, I went on a missions trip to Sulphur, Louisiana to help a friend of mine, Rivers Camp, and his church with some relief work from Hurricane Katrina. And one of the things his church wanted us to do was walk through the neighborhoods, go knocking door to door, and ask people if there was anything we could pray for. Again, that is not me. Right? That's not who I am. I'm not going to do it. No, thank you, God. I don't want to be that type of Christian. But what am I going to do, right? When you're on a mission trip, you do what the missionary tells you to do. So myself and two other guys, we started walking up and down the sidewalks praying, and I was praying that nobody would be home, but God has a sense of humor, right? Every single door we knocked on, I swear somebody was there. But as my good friend Eric Nelson always says, you do it scared, right? You do it scared. You step out of your comfort zone. You leave results up to God, and you do it scared. And I was just blown away how a simple gesture of praying with somebody just opened up the door to talk about Jesus. And we had some amazing conversations with people that day. And what I want you to understand is that there are people in your life that you know who do not know the grace of Jesus. And at this moment, it is not too late. At this moment. One day, it will be too late. It's like I see on Facebook all the time. I constantly, especially lately, I've been seeing God is the God of second chances. Absolutely, he is. He will give you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a 50th chance and a 1,000th chance until he doesn't. Because there's coming a day where it would be too late. Don't let that day come. Don't let that day come. And so what we tend to think as we're hiding behind locked doors is, what if I do this and I don't get it right? And what if I start to share my faith and they say no? And what if and what if and fear, fear, fear? And what if I share my faith and they didn't want to hear it? But I think a more powerful question we need to ask ourselves is, what if we don't? What if I don't? What happens if I don't share my faith? The disciples were hiding behind locked doors, scared to death. But when they realized that Jesus was risen, everything changed. And for some of you, today is that moment. Right, that the tomb was empty, and instead of being afraid, just like Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, you are an ordinary, everyday person filled with the Holy Spirit, bold and courageous in faith, because when we believe deeply, we speak boldly. And we believe Jesus is the name above every name. He is the soon returning, conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only name by which we must be saved. Our Savior, the one who died and rose again, and we need to be bold. Right? Coming from the contractor, who is still very much an introvert, I'm not naturally a people person. I would much rather be back there in that sound booth with Titus and Justin right now than standing up here. But I can't help it. I can't help but tell people about Jesus. Because of what he's done in my life. And I hope and I pray as you spend more time with Jesus, that that becomes true for you as well. And I am so excited about this next new year and all the new things that I hope God will lead us to do. But one of them is for certain. We are going to continue with everything in us, pointing people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's our mission. It's our passion. It is a command. And one of the things I have learned over the years is this. You can't do that without opening your mouth and speaking boldly. So let's do it. Right? Let's speak boldly. Right? Lives are at stake. Eternities hang in the balance. So what are you going to do this year to grow in your boldness? Whatever it is, we need to do it. We need to take a step out of our comfort zone and begin to share our faith boldly with those around us. So Heavenly Father, I ask today that you would make those who are followers of your Son Jesus bold rather than selfish. God, we deny ourselves and we follow the one who gave his life for us. God, help us not to worry about what others may think or say, but to remember that there is coming a day where it will be too late. So give us boldness, because we believe deeply that when we follow Jesus, it makes life better and it makes us better at life. So help us to proclaim the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.